I'm Faith Middleton. It's great to have you joining the party on the Food Schmooze here on WNPR in Connecticut, Rhode Island, Massachusetts, and New York, including the East End of Long Island. My food buddies are here. Chris Prosperi of Metro Beast Restaurant in Simsbury, Connecticut, Alex Province of Hartford, Connecticut, Lori Mack, our senior producer. Hey, everybody.
Hey, Faith.
All right, you can tell your friends no matter where they live, they can listen to the Food Schmooze from anywhere in the world, as many people do, at WNPR.org. You can also visit us online, as thousands of people are doing. We're having these great conversations, exchanging information. It is fantastic. Thank you so much for spending time with us at foodschmooze.org. Okay, we're going to start off with, we've got a lot to do. We've got the dirty steak recipe. I mean a steak charcoaled, grilled inside the charcoal. I mean, it's right in there. It's not even on the, it's unbelievable.
Oh,
okay, we've got, it's a dirty steak. Here we go. We've got, we're going to start with Anthony DeSerio. He is a contributor here on the show quite frequently. He's a Connecticut bartender. He knows cocktails. I said to him, what can we do? It's this time of year. Can we do, let's do another frozen thing. Let's say, and I, well, you know, should we go back to like a healthy profile? And he said, I can make a healthy pina colada. And he said, I would love this job.
Yeah,
I like an unhealthy one even.
Yeah, so do I. So do I. And I like it heavy on the pineapple. Yeah. Anthony, let me tell you something. This is a killer cocktail. You have got to try this. I normally have pina coladas in the winter if I get to sneak away for 5 days someplace warm under a palm tree.
Yeah, as we're freezing.
Yeah. So, but here's Anthony saying, no, 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 I can do this the healthy way. So he said, here's what he did. The smart thing is he limited that blue can of mix that is in a lot of liquor stores. And he said, you want to get an extra hint of vanilla. So I'm going to use some alcohol here that has vanilla notes. And he said, we're going to get rid of that cream of coconut, and we're going to add coconut water.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to use yogurt and either milk or heavy cream. It's up to you. And then the pineapple juice. So that's what he has done. This is all on our website right now, foodschmooze.org, where he's mixing a rum with both light and dark. He's got a Greek yogurt. He's got a little bit of milk or heavy cream. That coconut water, we've got all the amounts listed here, real vanilla extract, pineapple juice, and crushed ice into the blender. It goes buzz, 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 and you are fantastic. This is a fabulous way to go with a pina colada.
He's my hero. I've always wanted a pina colada without that cloying, sweetness.
Right? Yeah,
yes.
I'm with you.
So the way I've done it is to add half the coconut milk and twice the pineapple juice this is way better than
and
what
this
I'm
sounds
doing.
Healthier too. I mean, that coconut water you see in all the stores now.
It's good.
It hydrates
the latest
you.
Rate.
I love it.
It hydrates you.
It hydrates
all the electrolytes.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
It's supposed to be good for your skin
good
too,
for
by the way.
Well, that's what they say.
Look at all the benefits of drinking this pina colada.
And the yogurt has probiotics.
Yep, probiotics.
Good for digestion.
Yeah, see?
It's a health drink.
It is a health smoothie.
Health tonic.
We're going to bottle this.
We need a medicine wagon.
Go door to door in the summer.
Connecticut.
I like it.
On the east end of Long Island.
We're here with your health tonic.
Look, my hair's grown back.
Just like the...
It's working.
My glasses, I threw them away. It's just unbelievable.
Two pina coladas a day. It's all it takes.
Okay, I cannot wait for this. I'm sorry, but this is Alex's dirty steak, he calls it. And this is charcoaled steak, only I mean seriously.
Charcoaled steak.
Charcoal. So this is a steak done in the charcoal. All right. I'm not kidding. I mean that literally. Okay, tell us about this.
Yeah, and it's essentially showmanship more than anything. So the steak is going to come out really wonderfully, but it's so much fun.
This is for your Labor Day party, by the way.
Yeah, when you have a crowd.
Showstopper.
And so everyone's waiting for you to put the grill back on. Nope, you're not going to. You're going to put a big thing of lump charcoal. You're going to heat it up just like you would in the regular chimney. You're going to sort of flatten it out, wait till it gets white hot, and then you're going to blow the ashes away, hopefully not in anything flammable.
Like your house.
Yeah, like away from people.
Yep.
So now you have this bed of white hot coals, and you're going to season. We use like a big ribeye, like a 2-inch thick ribeye. We would have salted it with kosher salt and put a ton on. I mean, you're going to develop a crust. We actually keep our steak on the counter for like half an hour.
That's a good idea.
And then right onto the charcoal, you're going to add the steak, and you're going to cook it for 2 or 3 minutes on one side, and you're going to flip it over, cook it 2 or 3 minutes on the other side. And we like it medium rare. And then we're going to take a cookie rack with a pan underneath it. We're going to put the steak on. We're going to tent it for 10 minutes.
Let it rest.
And then let it rest. And then when you slice it, you'll have beautiful medium rare steak. And all the charcoal will have like sort of fallen off. And any that remains actually sort of enhances the flavor of the steak.
On the show we have coming your way, we have even how to make snapper blues the Spanish style, as Alex's mother does, how to make very fresh bluefish taste terrific. We have a recipe for that. And Chris has got all kinds of things. And I have, for Labor Day, a chicken pesto potato salad. So it's all right in the same dish together, if you want. I like to do it this way. So we're going to get to all that. Okay.
Can you do that on a gas grill? On the gas coals? No, this has to be on a charcoal fire.
Mm-hmm.
Gotcha.
And you can use briquettes, but lump charcoal is better.
Yeah.
Less filler and stuff.
Yeah.
And
less chemicals.
Yeah. Okay. So fantastic. Really, really fun. And a great party atmosphere.
Everyone's
doing something.
Everyone's gathered around the grill watching you.
Stop.
That's the entertainment.
Sipping health drinks.
Trying to stop me.
Okay. Let's do, I like potato salad. Actually, I like it all year long, but I'm not yet done with pesto. And in fact,
basil's everywhere.
Basil everywhere. And I love pesto with a little bit of protein in it. Sometimes I'll use shrimp. In this case, I'm using chicken. And I thought, one day I just said, why can't we mix all these things together? And so that's how I can do a potato salad. Now, you can bake the chicken if you want, if you prefer it, if you don't have a grill. You can grill it if you do, and then just cut it up in pieces, in cubes, and then put that grilled chicken in with your potatoes. We tell you how to do this online. In with your potatoes and your pesto, which you can make from scratch, or you can buy in containers. In the refrigerator section, they make some pretty darn good ones. And so you can, if you want to boost up the basil flavor, you can add some fresh basil chopped up to that potato salad if you're buying the container version of it. And there you go. So you can even, and by the way, there is, for texture, toasted pine nuts this potato salad has, and it has just a little bit of golden raisins. So you've got that crispiness, you've got a sweet and sour thing going on, which is beautiful with the pesto and the chicken. This is a really fun recipe, and it does call for mayo. For some people who can't have mayo, you could certainly use yogurt in there, but just have fun with this, and this recipe is up online right now at fuchmoos.org. Chicken and pesto potato salad with pine nuts and raisins.
Faith, would you serve that on like a bib lettuce or something? Turn it into a salad?
You could if you wanted to, or you could serve it alongside your dirty steak.
Yeah, as a side dish.
You know, really, really fun. Yeah. You know, you could put a dollop of pesto also on your sliced fresh tomatoes, which are abundant right now. You can do this. You could put the chicken on top of the pesto potato salad if you want. You can do this any which way that feels good to you. I like to mix it all together just for fun.
Yeah. This is the time of year for pesto, right?
Can I do the absolutely? If you're thinking it's Labor Day and I am not going to do much labor, then what you can do is go buy a rotisserie chicken and pull the meat off of it. And you can buy the packaged pesto.
I've had some good
and
ones.
Just cook your potatoes, and there you go.
That's all you have to do then.
And cook, just mix it all together, and you're all set. Toast some pine nuts, throw in some golden raisins,
modified
and you're good to
recipe.
Go.
I'm with you on that one.
Easy on the labor. You could also do that on any weeknight that you're working, by the way, which is what I often do. Rotisserie chicken on the way home. Yeah. That's my game.
We always roast too much chicken anyway. When I love the idea of Friday night chicken, but Matt and I can never eat like an entire chicken, so we always end up with like leftover chicken, but that would be a great way of using it up.
Sure. I do too. I'm always buying these rotisserie chickens one or two times a week, and I'm then dicing up the chicken and adding it to different things for other meals.
Just in a Ziploc bag, right?
In the morning sometimes I'll take that leftover rotisserie chicken, dice it up, and pull out some frozen vegetables, even though we're in the fresh vegetable season. I just keep them on hand so it's fast. I microwave them and then mix with, say, yuzu sauce or ponzu sauce.
It's or like a savory Frank's breakfast.
And I have, yeah, that's what I'll have for breakfast. Just fun and... Yeah, I like it that
for
way.
For a second, I thought you were going to add milk to it.
Cereal?
Never tried that.
Cereal.
Pina colada. Okay. So, Chris, is there a potato salad you haven't had this summer that you yearn to have?
You know what? I keep thinking years ago we did on the show a potato salad with Old Bay seasoning and pickled onions.
That's
and to this day, you know what? I haven't had it this summer yet. And to this day, it was definitely in the top five potato salads I've ever had. Do you remember that one?
It was so good.
It was so good. You pickle the onions real quick. So you take sliced onions and just add a little bit of salt and vinegar and let them sit while you're cooking your potatoes.
I think for an hour,
yeah,
right?
Right. Really fast. Basically, as your potatoes are cooking and then they cool a little bit, you chop your potatoes. And while it's still warm, you add the vinegar and the onions to the potatoes. You add a little bit of olive oil. And then you add a good sprinkling of Old Bay seasoning, which is that crab seasoning from Maryland. And
so
start with
a little taste
and
then
taste,
add more.
And that has the salt in it. It has celery. I mean, it's an amazing flavor. And like I said, that's in my top five potato salads.
It was like this sort of combination of going to Capri and then having a German potato salad.
It was like you had everything.
You had this sort of Maryland seafoody thing plus this vinegary.
Did you put out the newspaper?
Yeah, you should, right? Put out the newspapers, get the hammers.
What's the mallet for?
Yeah, what's the mallet for? That? No, it was going to be, but we went with potatoes instead.
It's
a good potato salad.
I love the can
good one.
Of Old Bay.
Yeah, sure. It's like still decorative. And it still comes in that can, right?
Okay, sure, that's a good one, Chris. Yeah. Okay, so, coming up, we're going to tell you about doing bluefish two different ways. We're in this kind of big bluefish time now. They are running, and into September, they are running big. They go in big schools, and I used to live in Stony Creek in the fishing village and keep a fishing rod by the front door. And when I would hear the blues are running, I would race out the door with my rod. At the time, I had a little dock across the street, and I would run out there and start casting as fast as I could.
Oh, yeah,
no.
Sure.
No.
Oh, come on. You can almost snag them.
Nothing, huh?
No.
With the neighbors like, here comes Faith. Here comes Faith again with her pole.
Oh, she scared him away.
No fish.
However.
The neighbors brought you plenty.
Snapper blues, which the big blues are often chasing. You know, they're these tiny bluefish. You know, they're like the baby bluefish, I call them.
Yeah.
They're a bait fish, and they are very silvery. And you'll see the water in Long Island Sound silvery flashing with them. And you'll see schools of very ravenous big bluefish chasing them. And these snapper blues are racing to get out of there as fast as they can because they're about to be eaten. Those snapper blues that are bait to us are so delicious. Honestly, these I do catch and I do cook, although I can't wait to hear how Alex does this. Okay, here we go. We're going to do that in our next segment. And the recipes are online right now. I'm Faith Middleton. I hope you'll make a charitable contribution to feed the hungry. More mouthwatering conversation and fun here on the Food Schmooze. We'll be right back.
Out of the black, skipping the track, taking it back. I make a bid for the metal. Rough rot like a cosmonaut. I got shunned for the refund. You're restless in your best dress. I'm depressed at your swanky dress. Live in the machinery, salt sea of the hex you be. Hell bounds around the compound. Make the words swell in the villanelle. Ah well, you got the dweller, dispeller. Tremble when you disassemble. Scrawl a rough map on the fool's cap. Mr. Weinstein drinking the strike nine. That's why I compel. Like a vegetable, green like a vegetable, burning like a vegetable.
Beans and cornbread, beans and cornbread, beans and cornbread. Beans and cornbread had a fight. Beans knocked cornbread out of sight. Beans. Cornbread said, now that's all right. Beans. Meet me on the corner tomorrow night. I'll be ready tomorrow night. I'll be
I'm Faith Middleton. The Fuchsmoose Party here on WNPR is heard Wednesdays at 3 and 9, Saturdays at noon. Join the conversation with us on Facebook. Simply search The Faith Middleton Show. Thanks to our talented crew, senior contributor Chris Prosperi of Metro Beast Restaurant in Simsbury, Connecticut, our regular contributor Alex Province of Hartford, Eugene Amatruda, Marion Roy, producers Lori Mack and Jonathan McNichol, and thank you for listening. We're going to get to Bluefish here because, I mean, there's so much to talk about. The farmers' markets right now, the farm stands all over the place, the farms themselves, our supermarkets, our every kind of market imaginable. It's just bursting with things. This is the transition period. We've been talking about Labor Day. Transition period between one season and the next. And this is where I am hanging on, still wanting to cook all my favorite summer things because I love them so much, but also casting an eye forward to all these other things that are coming my way. Here, can we do bluefish? Because it is the fish that nobody likes.
Yeah, why is it the
it's
sort
oily.
Of,
it's oily.
Yeah, but when it's fresh,
I adore
and we
it.
Can have that because it's right here.
I love it even oily, believe it or not. But if it's fresh, right?
Yeah, they're fun to catch. That's part of the reason. Everyone has like a fisherman friend who catches like 50 of them. He's trying to give them away.
There's like four on your doorstep.
Right.
And you get
no wheelbarrow down the street.
Like, really, ring my bell. I'm just right now, you know, just... Honestly, it is a favorite thing of mine. And so one of the tricks is that you can say, as the fish goes hour by hour and getting older and older, it does develop that more oily taste and flavor profile. And many people don't like it. They think it's too strong. So the trick is to go to your fish market and say to them, please call me when the new delivery of bluefish comes in. Call me the minute it comes in. And then you have to be prepared to go over, and you want to cook it as quickly as possible. So you're going to cook it that next meal or that evening, and you don't want it to sit around, and that way it's fresh.
And it's an amazing fish when it's like that.
Oh, and if you have a friend who's a fisher person, mm-hmm. you are so lucky. Say, I'll take the bluefish fillets.
Stop at my house first.
Yeah.
So I might end up bringing them into the studio. Like, what's in your bag? Oh, yeah. A couple of bluefish.
Oh, yeah. Anytime.
Absolutely, anytime.
I love
and
fresh
I think
bluefish.
If any fisher people are listening, I think the key is keeping them really cold as soon as you catch them rather than letting them go into the transom of the boat. Yep. If you put them on ice, they stay way fresher and don't.
So because you two are so strong, I'm at a disadvantage. While I love to fish, I sometimes can't by myself pull in the bluefish because it's a fighter.
Oh, my gosh.
And then once it is in the boat, I'm practically jumping over the side because of its teeth, and it'll chop your finger off in a second.
The saltwater equivalent of the piranha.
I so don't have that problem. Are you kidding me? I am so like you, Faith.
You are? You
I
can't
am
pull it in?
100. No, the other one. The
scared of it?
No, the go out there with my fishing pole and just they just disappear. They see me coming. I can actually go out in the water on a boat and you can see the bluefish. And as we get closer to them, if I'm on the boat, people have told me this. If I'm on the boat, the fish just keep moving.
You're like the cooler at the casino.
Yeah.
Fishing was good. Yeah.
Nothing. I tell people I have to go fishing. I have to have a fish market like plotted in my GPS for the ride home so I can actually bring home something and say, yeah, I caught just one, but it's a nice one.
Well, I can actually catch them on a boat. I mean, really, I can, but I can't. It does me no good because I can't. I can't reel it in.
We've been in a dinghy before in Indian Cove and hooked a big bluefish and have been dragged around in the inflatable dinghy.
Yeah, they're strong. They're so strong. Okay, so we're kind of off the subject here, but this is how you want your bluefish to be as fresh as possible. And my nephew Doug is the person who, Doug Pinto, he's the one who taught me this. And to be fair to him, he is probably I think he's the best fish cooker in our entire family. I think I'm pretty terrible at it. He is the absolutely most talented one. And when I was, I don't know how many years ago, when he was, I think just out of college, he would make bluefish and it would be the most delicious thing. And it would be, he'd have mustard on it and breadcrumbs. He just had that food gene and about fish in particular. And Doug went on to be a waiter at La Bernardin, which is the temple of fish in New York. And so He taught me that as soon as it's caught and it's fresh, it is fantastic, people. So I put up a recipe for I think is just terrific for bluefish. And what they're doing here, this is originally from the North Carolina Examiner newspaper. And this is a recipe from a fisherman. And what he's doing is treating the fish protein the same way that many Latin cultures treat pork. Oh. So you're mixing in citrus juices.
Yeah.
With the fish. And so what this guy does is bake it in the oven, and you know, olive oil in the pan, and then the very fresh bluefish fillets go in, and then you mix up a kind of salsa of onions, tomatoes, and peppers. You put that on top of the fish, and then you combine the other things in the recipe. We've got bell pepper and lemon juice and fresh orange juice and lime juice and paprika and a little bit of seafood seasoning, Chris. Mm. That gets poured over this mixture and onto the fillets and into the oven. It goes.
Yeah.
And it is very, very good. Even if you had a little bit of an oily taste in your bluefish because you didn't get to it right away, this is what takes care of it right here.
Any
really
cumin?
Good. No cumin. What a good idea.
I wonder if that would work.
Sure, it would.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, you could do it in place of your seafood seasoning or add it to your seafood seasoning. Great idea, Alex.
You know what I like, and it's really simple. What I like to do with bluefish is if you have, let's say someone gave you a big fillet of fish and you cooked the whole thing and you didn't eat it all. The next day when it's cold, what I do is I take some cream cheese and I put it in my food processor and I just take the bluefish, cooked bluefish, you know, just sort of crumble it up, throw that in there with a little of the pimentón, which is smoked Spanish paprika.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. A little bit of that and some sea salt, and then just turn the lid, just sort of like just blend it. So
pulse
you're not,
it a
yeah,
bit.
Pulse it on and off until it just gets incorporated, and then smear that on a bagel.
Mm.
That's
right?
Great.
That's my summertime when people bring me bluefish. I don't even have to eat it that night. Sometimes I'll just cook
probably
it
gets better.
And just put it in the cream cheese the next day.
What
because
a
I just
great
love
idea.
That. You know, I don't know. It's
plus,
just
you've
like,
got that smoked fish
yeah,
profile.
And then you didn't
from...
have to, and you didn't have to do the process of curing and smoking and
the
all.
The smoke
that.
Came from the pimentón.
From the smoke. It's basically smoked paprika, which you can get.
How smart are you?
And it is so, like I said, smear that on a bagel. I can eat that all summer long. I just need more friends that catch bluefish.
Yeah.
Right? Because I can eat that all the time.
Could you fry bluefish in chorizo oil?
Sure.
Same idea. Give
yeah.
a little smoky
lots of,
red
lots
flavor.
Of
chorizo
yeah.
oil,
yeah.
by
yeah.
the way.
Yeah.
You know, I think you yeah. could. That's a yeah. fantastic idea.
And that's the dry cured.
Chorizo oil.
Yeah, and that's the dry cured chorizo that you get at like the Spanish markets
yeah.
and that stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
Palacios.
Yeah. Huh. Yeah, even just dice that after you sear, cook off and render the and cook off the sausage. Chop up the sausage and throw it in the blender or in the food processor with it. So you have chorizo sausage
yum.
And bluefish on your
oh,
schmear.
Oh, now you are talking.
Right? Now we're talking bagel
now got,
times 10.
We've got fish cakes now.
Yeah.
Now
oh,
I think you've
yeah.
just made a fish cake.
See, and I think
oh.
these are all great uses because when I think bluefish, I think like Alex said earlier and you said too, someone brought me bluefish.
Yeah,
yay.
It's a lot.
You know, and they did. They bring you like six of them.
Yep.
Because they got into a school and they caught a lot. So you have all this bluefish. You know, I like to preserve it, you know, and you can't eat it all at
yep.
once. And this is just a great way to preserve it.
Wonder, can you put it in a jar like a confit with
mm-hmm.
oil
sure.
on top and
yeah.
preserve it
or,
a little bit?
Or,
another good idea.
Yeah, or the cream cheese, I just freeze. I put it in little pint containers, the deli containers, and chuck in my freezer.
So you could make what was just described here is mm-hmm. this instant fish cake so
yeah.
by adding, say, the chorizo,
yeah.
the Spanish chorizo, the oil that comes off it, that garlic paprika oil that comes off
mm-hmm.
it,
yeah.
the cooked bluefish, or not cooked, I guess.
Yeah, no,
but,
cooked.
And then we'd want some panko breadcrumbs.
Yeah, a little bit of mayonnaise.
A little bit of mayonnaise or some egg,
yeah.
egg white,
yeah,
just
sure.
as a binder.
Yeah,
we've made fish cakes.
And then sear
and
them off.
And now we sear them off
oh,
and then
yeah.
put them, wrap them up and put them in a plastic bag
yeah.
in the freezer.
Yeah.
And we've got our own frozen
fish
cakes.
To bring out
a chorizo fish cake. Oh.
That
or
with a
you
glass
make
of rosé.
How about a big...
As an appetizer on the porch.
See, you're thinking... I'm thinking the opposite. How about a big one and put it on a bun, right, with some more
oh,
mayonnaise
yeah.
or something and have
a
bluefish
burger. Oh,
yeah.
great.
Same mix. So you could make little ones
yeah.
for Alex's hors d'oeuvre party, right? And you could also make big ones and freeze them too, and then you could have burgers. Nice. So, again, if you have friends that are bringing you lots of bluefish.
How fun is this? Right? Okay, so now we're not done with bluefish because we've been talking about the big adult bluefish. Now we're going to talk about those baby ones that many people consider snapper blues.
I don't know. I've never heard of them.
Silver flash and Long Island Sound or at the beach, at the shore.
Are they a bluefish? No.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Oh, they are a bluefish. They're just small.
Oh, yes, baby ones.
Yeah. So we sat at West Wharf in Madison growing up, and you use a Castmaster, like a little gold flashy thing, exactly like you're saying. They pretty much bite anything that shines, including themselves. You throw it out into the school, you reel it in, sort of like jerking it off to the side. We've caught like a bucket of 350 of them as a kid, a group
and
of
them. And then you go home and you fry them.
How big?
They're small, like 6 inches.
Wow.
They're delicious.
See, I'm not on the shore
enough. You can even eat the bones.
This.
I mean, it's almost like a sardine.
Yeah, like a sardine.
We ate the bones. Okay, so your mother eats these, right?
My mom loves sardines. So I think in Spain you get fresh sardines that you fry in olive oil and you drink that with chilled red wine or rosé. And you could just eat them by the handful. But when we brought home snappers as a kid, I think she saw them and thought, oh, I could fry these like sardines. So she would just sort of, you can remove the scales if you want, just going backwards with a fork or a spoon and they fly off. And you can just
and you can do that in a brown paper bag so that they get stuck to the bag and they don't spray all over your clothes and your counter.
Or outside. Just don't do it inside if your spouse or parents are going to get mad at you. Doing it. And then essentially you just take the entrails out, you know, clean the fish, and you can also, if you wanted to, you could butterfly it and take out the backbone, but you don't even have to if you just take the guts out. And then
and it's a tiny fish, Alex,
tiny,
right?
Tiny.
So
you can eat the
there's
tail.
There's hardly any little bone, inside.
Tiny little bones. I mean, it's small. So rinse it out, dry on paper towel, season it with salt, nice skillet with olive oil, and then you just dredge it a tiny bit of flour. You don't
good
even,
olive oil, right? Extra virgin
good
olive
oil.
Yeah, your mother would have used, as you would, Spanish olive oil.
Very, very good, green, healthy olive oil, the kind that you actually would want to drink and eat. And you just lay these like dredged, floured snappers in, cook them for 2 or 3 minutes on each side. They come out golden, put them on a paper towel, pile them up high, and then you just almost can eat the whole thing.
Yeah.
Bones and all. And you actually get good calcium from the bones. You don't even taste it.
I love that
kind
of eating. We used to do a sardine party every summer and do them on the
really?
Grill. So this would be the same
you got
thing.
Fresh sardines?
We got fresh sardines from New York, and we would put them on the grill, and there'd be like 50 people. And we'd just eat. You just stand around the grill and
good
eat
eating.
Them off the grill on just these newspaper. We'd cut the Sunday Times
lemon.
Into little squares and just squeeze a lemon. Yeah. I bet you could do the same thing with these, right?
So snappers, like Faith was saying, they're so gentle and mild tasting, so they don't resemble the bluefish at all. They're absolutely delicious. Delicious, and you can just catch. I think there's a limit to how many. I don't think you can catch 350 anymore.
Day.
I think they've like since imposed limits on how many you can catch
because of people like Alex.
So they're
as
very.
A child.
This is satisfying.
I had the opposite problem. I always caught fish. I just never wanted to eat it. So I bring them home
that's
to my
why,
mom. Like here,
that's why
these?
They can tell. The fish can tell when I'm on a boat. That there's a chef that loves cooking.
Because you're
fish.
Salivating.
I'm salivating. They're just like run.
So these are satisfying to fish for if you have kids because they're easy to catch.
Oh, sure.
And
put up a fight.
Yeah, I mean, it's just the tiniest little thing.
And do they run right along shore so you can just cast them
right absolutely.
Off the
off docks.
If you go to, like, West Wharf, you'll just see a big school, like Faith was saying, and they're just jumping out, and they're chasing minnows as well. They're either being chased by the big blues or chasing minnows to eat, and then you'll just see this boiling thing. You throw your cast master in, you hook them, and then you can almost catch one on every cast.
Wow.
Yeah, it's really,
that is totally
really
cool.
Great.
So what
Delicious.
Do you need for a dinner party? About a couple dozen?
Six a person.
Six a person, because they're small.
For
very
a dinner
cool.
party?
Yeah, for a dinner party.
You mean for the appetizer?
For the appetizer. For the appetizer.
Okay.
Alex
go,
is like,
Faith,
six
here,
a person.
Six, here are your six little fish.
Yeah. Like you throw out a beach ball, and then you throw your guests like a sardine. Like, here you go.
Nice.
You're going to need a trick for that.
Yeah. Wow. What kind of dinner parties do you have, Alex?
First, this is like the S&M dinner party.
Yeah.
First, the dirty steak.
Yeah.
Then, here, catch
these
this.
Are not like the winter dinner parties he talks about, which are very prim and proper.
Now we're going to behead your champagne. Okay. So Alex's mom's recipe for doing the snapper blues the Spanish way in a very nice extra virgin olive oil. We have this online with our recipes at foodschmooze.org. We are drawing into Labor Day, and the reason we were focusing on this now is that as it draws closer, we tend to get a little depressed because we think, oh no, I see some dark leaves up in the corner of that tree.
Here comes
the
school
first
again.
Light is changing.
The school buses are testing the routes.
Oh, we have to go buy notebook paper.
Got to put your shoes on.
So
we think still got a week or so.
Here's our theory on the food schmooze. If you make enough plans for yourself or just joining together with people or dishes to make straight through to almost Thanksgiving time, then you have something great and fun to look forward to. So that's what we're doing. That's why we're saying, let's get ready for Labor Day and do something really fun. So we're trying to get you set. So what else can we do to grab up the last of this? Well, we've got weeks more of this great summer food to go. But, you know, what can we make? What do you want to have right now?
Fruit pies. I still need to fill watermelon
pies
with vodka.
Oh, yeah, that would be
great.
That's
a summer thing.
That's fun.
Right? You haven't done that yet.
No, I need to.
You get the injection needles, right? Like the brining needles. You fill them with vodka.
You do that? Why don't you just
open
pour it?
Yeah, open it.
No, we inject. Because we have these big brining needles.
Because you have that equipment.
Yeah, because we have the big brining needles. We just take it and fill them. You put your vodka bottle down on the table, and you put your big needle in there, and you
How much vodka can you get in?
You could almost get like a half a bottle in one watermelon without it popping.
I have never found that to be so delicious, you know, the watermelon with just plain vodka. And I'm wondering what else you could do with it. We need Anthony DeSario. Alex, you're also a cocktail guy with me. What else could we do with that?
I'd make a watermelon martini. The watermelon and puree it with vodka.
Take that watermelon and put it in the blender with all kinds of
but
stuff.
This is more showmanship. I just want a big watermelon filled with vodka and have people over.
That's right.
He's all about the show now. Yeah.
Here, cut open the watermelon. Finish your steak.
Do a trick for your fish.
Okay, here's we have more coming your way. I still want to think what else you could inject that watermelon with. I'm just thinking about that. Please support your local food growers and food makers, and you can find everything we talk about here on the show now or anytime online. Join thousands who are visiting us, and thank you for that. It is so much fun at foodschmooze.org. More delicious conversation after a quick break. Please stay with us.
Folks like their taters lyonnaise, some prefer french fries, but I like mine fixed with mayonnaise, coleslaw on the side. Solid potato salad, that's Salad Salad Jack. Solid potato salad, boy, take a plate, fill it up, and bring it right back. Solid potato salad, and let's have no yak yak. Solid potato salad, boy, take a plate, fill it up, and bring it right back. The farmer said to the spud, your skin looks slightly pallid, so I'll dig you later, bud, for some solid potato salad. Solid potato salad, that is Salad Salad Jack. Yeah, solid potato salad, boy, take a plate, fill it up, and bring it right back.
Just laughing. This is like in songwriting. Let's think of all the words that go back. Yak. It's hysterical, absolutely hysterical. I am Faith Middleton with the gang, Lucky Me, and this is the Food Schmooze Party coming to you in Connecticut, Rhode Island, Massachusetts, and New York, including the East End of Long Island. Of course, you can tweet us at FaithWNPR. And to join the conversation with us on Facebook, search The Faith Middleton Show. I am with Chris Prosperi, Alex Province. Lori Mack is dipping in and out with us, and we've been talking about Labor Day. We're talking about the anti-depression device. I want to come back to this watermelon that is injected. If you can have alcohol, this is injected with alcohol. We don't have Chris's brining needles from his professional kitchen. So how would you, for instance, Alex, put vodka into a watermelon?
I think you have to do it slowly. So you bore a hole at the top of the watermelon, and then with a funnel, you pour in a little vodka, as much as it can take, and then you, over a course of several days, I think you're trying to infuse vodka. You keep it in your refrigerator. And little by little, you're pouring it
in. Suck it in.
Yeah. Yep.
What could we put in there with vodka and that watermelon flavor that would still give you the watermelon taste but make it into a kind of cocktail inside the watermelon that would work? All those flavors would work. Do we want to put it in anything else besides vodka?
I'm thinking a little Aperol.
Yeah, I like that idea.
What is Aperol again?
It's like bittery, orangey, rooty.
It's an Italian liqueur. How many do they say? 58, 78 magic and, you know, herbs and spices. And, yes,
but
it's
would
a whole,
go with watermelon.
It would be great,
that's what
huh?
I'm saying. It would go great.
Yeah,
with
the bitter tasting component. What about gin? I mean, I'm not a huge fan, but gin has all the botanicals. I bet it would play off well.
Hmm, that's interesting. Yeah. Okay, what if you treated it like a margarita and you put in both tequila
and triple sec?
Oh my gosh, that's a great idea.
Yeah. Wouldn't that be you're talking.
The margarita
could,
it'd
be a watermelon margarita in one bite.
You know how
a little lime juice?
Watermelon goes really well with salt. I bet you could even put a little salt
on
inside.
The cubes. Okay, so you would do it like Alex. So this is it. Yeah. So you do it like Alex said. You cut a hole and then over a course of a day or two you sort of pour your
tequila
your triple sec. Sack and a little bit of lime juice in there and just sort of let it sit
macerate
in
some
there.
Fresh orange juice.
Yes, fresh orange juice too. Perfect. And then you would take it and cut it up, right, into little cubes and just sprinkle a little sea salt on each cube, put a little toothpick and just pass them around.
That's awesome.
Oh, wow.
That's a cool idea.
And some fresh lime juice just to...
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
We're like Jose Andres. Yeah. We're like living embodiments of this.
Yeah. That's...
chemical man.
That's it right there.
I want to try that.
All right, when are we coming
over? Let's do it.
I don't know. Bring it here.
No. This is, I want to go to one of your dinner parties. I'll bring it if you invite me because I want to take pictures.
You better wear a leather suit.
Yeah, I was going to say a plastic suit.
Who was that guy that used to crush watermelons with the
Gallagher.
Mallet?
Remember Gallagher? Front seat, the front two rows were like the watermelon zone, right?
Where are we going?
That's dessert.
Where are we going? That's Alex's party.
You're coming to my house.
See, that's Alex's party. Instead of cutting it into cubes, and Alex gets up on a stage he has set in his backyard, and we all stand in front of the stage in big raincoats.
No. Wait a minute.
And he
Let
smashes
me just...
them with a sledgehammer.
No, and here's what we
with
do.
Your mouth open. Yeah.
Alex stands on a thing in the center, and we take all of our cars, and we go in a circle all around.
Oh, there you go.
We turn on our car headlights. Just like at the lake, like we used to do. And then the show begins. Hey, good idea. I think we should have a party and we should try this out. It's our job to test this between now and Thanksgiving.
It's a great idea, though, to cut cubes. I like that.
I love it.
Or you could just try it on your own, my friend, as you're listening to us now. And let us know what happens. Write into us at foodschmooze.org. Let us know what happens. I love to grill fruit, and so I'm still loving grilling fruit. I like to grill peaches.
Like
I like to grill pineapple. Love to do that.
Love
a little bit of butter, and then I just put it on the grill, and it caramelizes. And sometimes I'll do the peaches in the cast iron skillet because I can control them better. I don't do them on skewers anymore because they get soft, and it's just a silly amount of work, and it's hard to get them off, and it's crazy. So now I just cook them right on the grill.
Yeah. I like the combination. You know those ham steaks that you buy in the supermarket?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They're not that expensive. They're like $5 a piece and stuff. You get a couple of those and a big pineapple, and that's dinner. What I do is I take them and I just glaze them a little bit with mustard and honey. both the pineapple and the ham steak, and you put them on the grill, and then you just chop them up into, let's say, 2 to 3 inch pieces and just toss them together, put them in a big bowl, and that's a fun dinner.
Wait a minute. You put mustard and
honey brushed on the pineapple and the
ham steak,
and then I take them off. I have a little cutting board next to my grill, and I just chop them into big chunks and put them in a bowl together, and I'm telling you, it makes an amazing funky style summer dinner.
You could add maraschino cherries to there your
you
little
go,
skewer.
Right, and a little ice cream. No skewer, just that.
This is like the ideal kids meal that you have just described. Honestly.
Maybe that's why I like
I'm
it so much.
Going to Alex's party.
You don't like my party? Come on.
No, that is really fun. That is what a fun, that is a Labor Day food for the kids at your Labor Day party, right?
And it's
there.
Not pineapple. Very expensive, right? You get a whole pineapple, you get a couple ham steaks, and who doesn't like ham? And grilled ham,
I love ham.
Just it gets crispy and
you can marinate it in Coca-Cola.
There you go.
For some reason, I never think of ham during the summer. I don't know why.
That's I don't either.
That's a great idea.
But those ham steaks are just made for the grill. They're, what are they, about 3/4 of an inch, 1/2 inch thick?
Yeah.
They grill so easy. They're fully cooked, so you're really just grilling it to get a little char on it and a little of that char on it. And, oh, love that.
Yeah, and there's sugar in there. And
yeah,
so it's
of course,
just
with the cure, right?
It reminds me of like very 50s. You need like a plastic table.
Thank you. Pineapple with the umbrella drinks, right? We'll make Anthony's
we
cocktail
back again
with
our
a little
umbrella
in it, right? Got to have an umbrella.
I freshly say, Alex, mowed yard
you know
with
what?
All the
listen,
stripes
listen,
in it.
I will put money that somewhere in Alex's house in a drawer are drink umbrellas.
They're in my house.
They're in my house too, but I think Alex is hiding them.
I don't
somewhere.
Think I have any. I don't even know where you'd get them.
Okay,
oh,
we're
going to
get
them.
You some. We're going to get
I'll
you some because
them.
You have to have them in the summer.
Yeah, I have so many of those. That's one of my favorite things to do.
Yeah.
It's
to
a
put,
great idea.
Put you know just where umbrellas in every drink. Alcohol or not.
Yeah, where did they go? Remember going to restaurants in the summer or outdoor dining
the
in the
Polynesian
summer?
Restaurants.
And they all served these little drink umbrellas. They were so cool.
Oh, they were the best.
A cocktail maybe.
Yeah, but they were fun.
Well, you can order them if they're
online,
not. They're in every party store, but you can order them online in massive bulk.
I love how they go up and down, actually. Yep. You can actually
we used to play with them. We used to get them. My parents would go out and have a cocktail, and then we'd get the umbrellas. And by the time we got home, they'd
it
be
was
all
broken.
Yeah, they'd be like twisted.
It's like the same thing. You put your finger in both sides, and you tug, and you can't
get it.
I'm all about.
We had the same childhood.
I am a tiki bar nut, and I will drive a long way to go to a tiki bar. Yeah, and so I collect these tiki bar,
drinks, glasses, the
and
hurricane.
Oh,
and what
yeah,
were the drinks?
I wanted like
fantastic.
Drink out of a coconut.
Yeah,
you put like Mai a straw ties. And you walk around with a big coconut.
Yeah,
it's easy to do.
That
you can drink
that
out of
that. That was a time in our history, right? In America, that was like the '70s when those were big. Like right, you would go to tiki bars, and what was the big chain?
Well, there are still some around, and they're worth the drive. I used to drive to Springfield, Massachusetts, where there was one and walk over the little bridge in the restaurant.
Okay, circa what year?
Absolutely fabulous. Oh, I would say 80.
80s. Wow.
You need the tiki torches.
Yes,
like,
of course.
Oh, yeah.
Blowing out.
Yeah.
Nice
but
wind.
But you can recreate fake, this all in fake, your own backyard.
You can. It's easy.
And the really fancy ones had fake volcanoes in them, right?
Yeah.
Come on.
Do you make a volcano with like vinegar and baking
sure.
powder?
See, we could do
and red
this.
Dye.
We could have a themed party here.
But the ultimate, if you have a tiki bar going in your house, the ultimate thing to do, and it's an expensive thing to do though, is to get a surfboard and use it as your coffee table.
Very cool.
Where you put it on something, and it is absolutely fabulous.
Wait a minute.
That thing
Lori
to do.
Used to have a tiki bar.
Yes.
I asked to borrow.
And I said, anytime.
Was it in your basement?
No, and we made it.
You made
but,
it?
Yeah, we
is
used
it gone?
Grass, no, it's around.
It's around.
We used grass skirts to put around it, and we put some lights. One of the strings of lights were actually surfboards.
Oh.
And I think there was another string of lights that were sandals. And we draped the grass skirts on the top, too. And
fantastic.
It was kind of fun.
Absolutely fantastic. So, and you can get plastic renditions of all these classic mugs, sort of tiki bar glasses and mugs. Oh, yeah, because they're plastic. But it's also fun to go to some of these existing tiki bars or to go online and you can get some of the original stuff. It's really a wonderful, wonderful thing. There's an art to making a true tiki bar cocktail. Mm. there's a whole class of these cocktails that are very particular, come out of Polynesian culture, and there are bartenders who specialize in this. You're thinking of the old Trader Vic's.
That's the one I was thinking
of.
And
these bartenders, I mean, there are still collectible books with these drinks in them, and they are
like a subculture.
Fabulous. It wasn't just what it became in some of the later restaurants, just for show and nonsense. These were beautifully crafted cocktails, and there were still some around the country that do this. And you can read about this online and see these original recipes and give them a try yourself.
That'd be a fun party. Really,
yeah,
really.
There's time, too.
Yeah.
I just mentioned, if you go online, because I own these also, there are Hula Girl invitations.
I thought you were talking about the ones that go on your dashboard.
No, these are three. I have those, too. These are three-dimensional, and they're fabulous.
Very cool. The envelopes, the whole thing. Daiquiris, daiquiris. I have Hula Girl bicycle horns
for my bike. Did you do this party, or was this just something you lived? Oh, no, this has been a thing my whole life. A million times.
You need something with Jell-O, like Jell-O shots.
Oh, of course, because that's like a classic,
right? Jell-O mold with
Jell-O shots.
Oh, yeah.
Jell-O shots.
Everything. You could do a whole thing. It doesn't even have alcohol or not have alcohol. This is just a fun party theme.
Drinks served in coconuts.
Jell-O with the... Yeah. Everyone has their own coconut. Like, I've only had two coconuts.
Do you bring your coconut back for, like, a refill? Is that how it works?
I think you should.
You just... Everyone gets one coconut, and you're just... I'm ready for another coconut drink, please.
My version of the woman cave is this tiki bar in the house. Just
nice.
A really... It is just a place to go.
Wait a minute, do you have Lori's tiki bar?
I do not. When I was first starting to set up this place, I did ask Lori if I could borrow her tiki bar.
How would you get it to your house on your car?
No, there's a truck that takes it from house to house.
I asked my friend Dick if he would pick it up.
You see the mattresses on top of the car about to fly off. You see Faith's tiki bar or Lori's tiki bar, like, I think it's going to go.
This went so far. This whole thing went so, this theme in my life went so far, this Polynesian design thing, that I bought a Jeep Wagoneer, an old one with the wooden side, with the fake wooden side, and had the Hawaiian hula girls
on
the dashboard.
Nice.
I really did. I have a Hawaiian shirt that is so fabulous. That's a real one. And I've just had the best time.
What kind of music?
But that's how serious I am about this. I have a collection of Hawaiian slide guitar music.
Wow.
See,
ukulele.
This has got to be a party.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, it is a party.
So what do people wear?
Continue.
Well, the grass skirts and the Hawaiian shirts.
Or I don't know if people would wear the grass skirt,
anything.
Though.
You can wear anything. Yeah. You can wear anything.
You need the Hawaiian shirts.
Yeah.
Sure, you could. And they're inexpensive. You know, you don't have to get some vintage thing. You could get these prints they're around so much. You could go into any of the box stores and get one for not much money. But, you know, just wear your Beach Boys clothes, as I call it, and just, you know, have fun. Just have fun with the whole thing. Among all of us, probably the person who makes desserts the most, it would be our baker is Lori Mack. And so, Lori, you've got a blackberry crisp that supposedly only takes 5 minutes to make.
Well, to prep and then 30 minutes to cook.
We've got this recipe up right now, right?
Right.
At foodschmooze.org.
So I found this from the Food Network Kitchen. Here are the ingredients. And this is great because you're using the blackberries or whatever berries you want. So you've got blackberries or whatever berries you'd like to use, sugar, lemon, flour, brown sugar, and a stick of butter.
Great. Okay. And we'll tell you how to do it. And this gets made cooks in the oven for about 30 minutes. And there you go. You're all set. A little ice cream on the side.
Oh, the blackberries
from
your yard?
That says summer.
Good to go. Are you going in the yard to get your blackberries?
Gee, yeah. I would love to go in my yard to get blackberries. If only I had them.
Oh, they grow like
weeds. Birds have taken care of that
already. Pick your own places, right?
That's true. All right. The Food Schmooze on WNPR airs Wednesdays at 3 and 9, Saturdays at noon. We are online anytime. Find the recipes, food products, restaurants, value wines, and easy cocktails right now or anytime. Foodschmooze.org. Here's to pleasure, my friends. And remember, never eat more than you can lift. In New Haven, I'm Faith Middleton.
Everybody eats when they come to mind.